So any... This last week, I spent a couple days up at Big Sandy Camp on a fasting and prayer retreat. I just went up for a couple days and just sought after the Lord and seeking after His vision and direction for where does Northbrook go from here. And starting tonight, today I'm going to be preaching a 5-part series on that vision. Well, this one's going to be the shortest one, as one, it's Communion Sunday, and we have less time. And we'll be filling this out more over the next few weeks. But we're going to be in the book of Acts this morning, if you aren't already there. If you want to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter 12. And we're going to look at an instance of answered prayer and the church's response. And we'll talk a little bit about the whole situation surrounding this. So Acts chapter 12, it'll also be up on your screen, but I encourage you to bring your Bibles so you can mark, underline, and make sure that I indeed am not taking the Word of God out of context. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. When he saw that this pleased the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers bound with 2 chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that the angel was doing and was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the 1st and 2nd guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of 1 street, suddenly the angel left him. And Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord sent His angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything that the Jewish people were anticipating." When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, "Peter's at the door!" "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said it must be his angel. But Peter kept on knocking. And when they opened, they saw him and they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the brothers about this," he said. Then he left for another place. In the morning, there was no small commotion among the soldiers as to what had become of Peter. After Herod had a thorough search made for him and did not find him, he cross-examined the guards and ordered that they be executed. And we'll end at this point. Father God, we just come before You this morning and we give You praise. Lord, we thank You that You are indeed the God who answers prayer. But it's not always the way that we think it's going to be answered. Lord, we ask right now that You would be present here in this service. Lord, I pray for Your anointing that as I come and as I preach Your Word, that Your Holy Spirit would indeed be upon me and that I would speak only Your truth and Your Word. And might I not speak it out of my strength, Lord, but might I only speak out of the power of Your Holy Spirit through Your guidance and direction. And Lord, I ask that You would open each heart and mind here for Your Word and Your truth, that despite everything that I may fail, Lord, they would still hear You speak and receive it. And that You would be lifted up and glorified, Lord, and that they, each one, would be drawn closer to You. Lord, we come before You now to worship You in the Word. Be present in power, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. A unique story. Actually, it's not. We find that it happens a couple of times. People getting arrested. Here, just in the book of Acts, we see it multiple times throughout the whole Bible. It's not a new story. How many of you remember that just in chapter 5 of the book of Acts, we have the story of all the apostles being arrested as they had been in the temple courts and preaching the word? And guess what? Now, this is shortly after the resurrection, the ascension, and then Pentecost Sunday, that all the apostles are arrested in the temple courts and they're told not to go back and preach the word anymore. Let's look at this. Chapter 5, verse 18, and it says, "They arrested the apostles and put them in the public jail. But during the night, an angel of the Lord opened the doors of the jail and brought them out." Okay, we're just going to stop there. Now we're a couple years down the road. The church has been growing. There's been some persecution. Much of the church has been scattered. One of the apostles has been taken and slain with a sword. And Herod found that the people, the Jews, they liked it. Said, "Oh, guess they like me killing one. I'll kill me another apostle. This is a good way to raise my rating points." It's like, this is what he did. He gathered his guards and he sent them off. Now he remembered what happened the last time some of these guys were arrested. So he made sure to guard Peter very closely. He had four sets of four guards for this guy, so he would be constantly in guard. The rotating shifts. We're talking about the description of sleeping. You've got him sleeping between two guards who he's chained to. We're not going to lose this guy this time. We're not going to wake up in the morning and find that he's in the temple courts preaching God's word. Herod is the king. He's not going to allow himself to be humiliated in such a manner. So he takes very proactive measurements. He doesn't know how Peter and the other apostles managed it last time, but he's not taking any chances. Now the church knows how it happened last time. How did it happen last time? It was God. God sent an angel who released them and gave them instructions. Go out there and preach the word boldly. So that's what they did. This time, we've already had one of the apostles killed. And now we have the church in prayer. Maybe the church is praying this time because they realize how serious it was. Oh, he killed one. We better pray this time. So they prayed. and they were earnestly praying. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying for him. That's verse 5. Earnestly praying for him. And guess what? God answers prayer. God answered their prayer. He sent an angel. And Peter's going, wow, this is a weird dream. Have you ever had a real life a dream that you knew what was happening was so outrageous it was a dream, but it felt like it was real at the time? This is what I think Peter was going through. He said, this can't be real. This is just too outrageous. An angel of the Lord is here. But Peter has been in the presence of angels of the Lord before. He's actually been released from prison by angels of the Lord before. We just read that. But it's been a couple of years. It's been a little while. There's been some changes. There's been some persecution. Things aren't going according to plan. It looks like the wheels are starting to fall off the cart here. The church is being scattered. We just had one of the apostles killed. And now it looks like Peter's going, looks like I'm next. I got two guards on either side. Yet he's having this weird dream. Ah, this is the escape dream. I'm going to get out of here. And then he comes to himself and he says, well, I have been released. So he goes to where he knows everybody's gathered to pray. And he's knocking on the door. Hello, who's there? Because, you know, it's nighttime and the neighborhood's not so great, so they just don't open the door. You know, we're having our secret meeting here. We're just not going to let anybody in. Because they just arrested our leader. They killed one. This is what's going on. This is what's going on in Rhoda's head. Rhoda, let me in. It's Peter. Oh! She gets so excited, she runs off. She leaves Peter hanging outside. Any of us ever done something like that? Yeah. You get so excited about something, you forget. I do that kind of thing all the time. So here's what's going on. Rhoda's out there telling the church who's gathered to pray. And what are they praying for? That Peter would be restored to them, that he would be freed from Herod's prison and be safe. Saying, he's at the door. Oh, it can't be. Why not? Why can't it be? It has to be. It is. Because God answers prayer. And when they did answer prayer, and they went open the door, they were astonished. Astonished. But yet they had seen God answer prayer in the past. They had seen miracles done by the apostles. They had seen and experienced the baptism of Pentecost. But they're a few years down the road. And it looks like the wheels are coming off and there's persecution and things aren't going the way that they think that they should have been going. But you know what? It is exactly the way things need to go. God is allowing it to happen because this is what He's going to use as His methodology to bring the church to its next level. The church in Jerusalem can no longer be the center. So we look at this, what we see is that this passage that we read here today, on either side of it, is the story of the church of Antioch. Read it, because that's where we're going to be next week. On either side of this, story of what's happening in the church of Antioch. Make sure you read that this week. That's where we're going to be going. Now the church was astonished. God answers prayer. And in the midst of what was going on, what they found was that actually looked like Herod's faith that something would happen was greater than their faith, because he had four sets of guards and they had one servant girl who didn't even open the door. And then when she says he's here, they argued about it with her. But when he was there, Peter told them, okay, I'm here. This is what's happening. Now I need to move on. I can't stay here. And he went and found another place. He left for another place. So what can we take from this? Well, 14 years ago, this church was without a pastor. But God had put a burden on my heart for this church. And he also given me a vision of one church of multiple congregations. And now we fast forward 14 years. And what we see is that we have God's church here, one church. We have multiple congregations. We have Northbrook. We have Hmong Community. We have the Truth Worship Center. We have Outposts. We have even our Refuge Service meeting. We have other groups that come and go out of here. This place is being used of God constantly. We also have a church which is looking more and more like the community around us, which, if you haven't noticed, is looking more and more like the world. Well, where Northbrook was, it was kind of like the Jerusalem church. And now it kind of looks, as we look around, even right now, we see on the edges, maybe it looks like some of the wheels are coming off here and there. Maybe some people say, you know, things are different. That's not the way it was. Somebody else is going, oh, what's changing over here? Maybe they're looking around going, things are good, things are bad. But there's change. But yet it's the same. Because this is the same thing I've been preaching and teaching and saying and coming here for before I even was called as pastor. Again, over the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be going into the vision of how we're going to move forward. And it's going to have three main components. Prayer. God answers prayer. We shouldn't be astonished at that. But He will yet astonish us. Because He's God. God answers prayer. So prayer. Second thing. As we look at the church here, we see the world. We see the community. We see Herod, who's not a Jew. Part Jew. Trying to placate the Jews and the church, which is made up of more than just Jewish believers now. Lives in the world, and we see it on either side of it, the church in Antioch. And even before this, what's happening is now the gospel is really starting to really be presented to the Gentile world. That's anybody who's not Jewish, if you're not sure what that means. So we see multicultural. That's the next area. That it's made up of the world, the church. That'll be the next area that we're looking at. And then the third main area that's going to be part building block of the vision moving forward is missions. What is the mission of the church? Why did God build His church? To take the good news to the world, which is the multicultural. What was the vehicle for empowering that? Prayer and the Holy Spirit. So we're going to be talking about that. That's what we're going to be doing. That's where we're going the next couple of weeks here. So I want your prayers. And don't be astonished if God answers them. And the answer looks a little bit different than what you thought you were praying for. Because God answers our prayers not according to our will, but according to His will and His purposes. But we should not be astonished that He answers them. But might we indeed be astonished in the way that He does answer them? They will be good, His answers. Even when the answer is no, it will be good. But might we go to prayer seeking His will and purposes for this church as we become more like the church in Antioch, which is the next step of the church after Jerusalem. You see, it's at Antioch that the church first became called Christians. And the reason why I believe they were called Christians at that point, we see in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 35, Fred. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another, as I have..." I was reading 34, as long as you had it up there, but... back it up to 34. "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." Okay? "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." The purpose for Northbrook is serving our neighbors with Christ's love. And love is selfless, loyal, benevolent, concern for the well-being of another person. It was at Antioch that the church first was called Christian. This is the criteria that Jesus said the world would know that we were His disciples, by our love one for another. People, this is what I'm going to be bringing together, hopefully, through God's anointing and direction, as I present the vision of how Northbrook is going to move forward over the next 4 weeks. I ask you to be here for each message, if at all possible. And if you can't, guess what? They're available online. Go to the church website and you'll be able to find them. Listen to each one. Don't miss them. Before I close, I now want to talk a little bit about this community that we live in. We live in community with Hmong Community Alliance Church and the Truth Worship Center and Outposts and these other ministries, these other groups that come together and worship and minister from this place. Today, this afternoon at 1 o'clock, Hmong Community will be installing their new pastor. They have invited all of us to come and share in that service. And if you wish to come and stay for the service, you may. It will be mostly in Hmong. But you don't have to do that. If you just want to come back at, say, 2:30 or 3 o'clock to catch the meal, which will start probably about 2:30 or 3, I would encourage you to come and join them. They will in no way be put off that you didn't come and sit through the whole service, but they will be, in fact, ecstatic that you showed up to share the meal with them for that time of fellowship. I would encourage you to come back for that. They will be having plenty of beef dishes and a few pork dishes, some veggie dishes and some rice. And there will be hot pepper to the side. For those of you who wish more. But come join us if you can. willing to support our brothers and sisters as they have the installation service for their new pastor, Pastor Nuutua Vang. Remember, just keep hold him up in prayers as his wife was buried just 2 weeks ago. So let's close our time with some prayer and then a closing song. Father God, we just ask that You would be with each one of us, that as we look to the future, might we not be astonished that You've done things in the past, You will do them again in the future. That when it looked like things were coming apart, that's when You moved the greatest and did the most wonderful things. And really, You took what the enemy meant for evil and used it for Your glory. Lord, might we see that. And might we expect it as we gather together as the body and as we pray for Your blessings upon Northbrook, for Your blessings upon all the ministries that meet here. That You would use us to be a light to this community and to the world. That Your name might be lifted up and glorified, and people might hear the gospel and come to know You as Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.